Amen. Thank you, ladies. Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews today, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And most of you, if you've been in church any length of time, you know what that chapter is all about. I was sitting there thinking while they were singing, when I was 18 years old, I went back in my memory. Sometimes I can go back and sometimes I can't, but I went back till I was 18 when I began to preach. And most of my sermons were about 15 minutes long. A couple of them were 5 minutes long in those early days. I preached a whole revival for 16 days. And the longest sermon probably was 20 minutes. And I was thinking, however, while they were singing, I always quote a verse of Scripture, and I still do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I realized as an 18-year-old boy, I needed the help of God to preach. I understand that. And I realize that I'm just a voice. You know, John the Baptist says, they asked who he was. He said, I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. And again today, I quoted that verse of Scripture this morning when I got up. I quoted it just a few moments ago to myself. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I want us to be able to hear from God today. I want God to speak to us. Amen. So let's stand together, please, for the reading of the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 11. I want to begin in verse 1, read down through verse 8, and excuse the sore throat. And I hope it comes across with some clarity. I'm going to title the message today, and I'll see if you can remember this, and most of you probably got pretty good memories, and you won't have any problem, but I'm going to entitle the message. It's not a long title, and I believe you'll be able to remember it. As a matter of fact, it's just 5 words, and I think you'll be able to get it. You ready? The title of the message today is Faith. Let's say it together, please. Faith. I started entitled Faith Is, and I'll make reference to that in just a moment, but I simply entitled the message Faith. And I want us to read together what God says in His writings, perhaps through the Apostle Paul to the church of Hebrews, the Hebrews, the Jews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, and through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. 23 times in chapter 11, you'll find the word faith. By faith. By faith. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And if you have faith in God, even though it be little faith, you can remove mountains. The Bible says in verse 23 of Mark chapter 11, the amount of faith is important, but a little bit of faith can move mountains. Imagine what a whole lot of faith could do. But a little bit of faith can move mountains out of the way. Father, I pray you'll help us today to glean the truth that'll be a blessing to us. And Father, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit of a holy God. And may our folks listen, Thank you for them being here. And now, Lord, as the word of God is delivered and preached, I trust I'll be mindful to obey you. And by faith, I'll be able to preach today. And Lord, without that faith, it's impossible to please you. So I need that. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, may you increase our faith. But remember, what faith we have needs to be the proper kind of faith, and the faith that can move mountains according to the word and the will of God. I pray, Lord, you'll help me now. I need you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. The question I pose to your mind and to my own is, what is faith? And I put in my notes this statement: a complete trust and confidence in someone or something. Illustration. Now, I know that we all operate by faith. You operated by faith today, whether it was physical faith or just human faith or whatever. But I'm talking about the right kind of faith. For instance, if I have faith, I can go over this chair and just sit down. It feels pretty good. I did not think twice whether that chair could hold me. But if I sit in the one out in the lobby, I think several times whether it's going to hold me or not. Because usually when I sit down, it has no cushion much in it, and it goes, just sort of squeezes out. And then sometimes getting out of that chair is tough. But I have faith that that chair can hold me. I didn't think a lot about it. Now, if I had some questions, I would not sit down because I wouldn't trust the chair. It's sort of like somebody jumping into your arms. I've used the illustration before about when Andrew was young. I could stand down here when he was 3 years old and say, jump to daddy. He'd probably look at me and he'd say, you want me to jump to you? I said, I'll catch you. I promise you I'll catch you. And then Andrew jumps from here to there and I miss him. No, I caught him. And the reason why he jumped without reservation is because he trusted his daddy. And the faith that we have has a lot to do with the object of the faith. It is not faith in faith that moves mountains. It is not faith that we muster up and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and try to trust our own ability. The Bible says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. The devil has faith. His is like this: belief without evidence is what is told by one who speaks without knowledge of things without parallel. Now, I read that again. It don't make a lot of sense. Most of what the devil says to the long degree doesn't make much sense. Belief without evidence is what the devil says. And what is told by somebody else who speaks without the right kind of knowledge of things without parallel. Or a child could say it this way: I believe in something that is not true, called Santa Claus, but I believe it. I believe in Santa Claus. How many of you believe in Santa Claus today? Nobody? What happened to you? Somewhere along the way, your faith got shattered and you don't believe in Santa Claus anymore. But I guarantee you there was a time in most children's life where they really thought there was a Santa Claus. And if they're good and nice and treat everybody right, the Santa Claus is going to bring them some wonderful gifts. So whether you've been naughty or nice, the Santa Claus is watching. Well, I don't know. I know that's not true. And I know that's a fabrication. I know that's a lie. But when I base my faith, it's got to be on somebody who knows, somebody who's right, somebody I can truly trust. And that is none else than the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Biblical faith has substance. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, you have what is called the hallmark or the hall of fame of faith. Now, we have hall of fames for sports figures like baseball and football. And I read the other day there's a cowboy hall of fame down in Texas. And there's all kinds of places that they recognize people that have done great exploits in a certain area. But when you read chapter 11, you find just a few of those that are listed that had faith in God. And this is the hall of fame of those who had faith, and your name can be in there. Because when you get down to the end of the chapter, it says, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I'll come back to that in just a moment. The fact is, the word faith, I said, is mentioned 23 times in this particular chapter. And because of that, we find it is exemplified or illustrated by various characters in the Word of God that we've read in Genesis and Exodus and the Old Testament accounts. They're here. Not all, but some of them are. He left some out. He added some in. Some are familiar and some are not familiar. But all of these that God had put here were to demonstrate that from various and sundry places, from different lifestyles, different vocations in life, different settings, different geographical location, there were men and women who had faith in God. And because of faith in God, you're sitting here today. Because of faith in God of our ancestors that believe God, I'm enjoying what they put their faith in many years ago that was handed down over and over again through generation after generation. And I had to pick up the baton. You've got to pick up the baton. And it really is a relay race. And we're running our laps for Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The one who is the goal is God. And the one who is the guard is God. The one who is the guide is God. God is God. And the Bible says, have faith in God. The kind of faith that puts you in touch with eternity. This is amazing. Now think about it for just a minute. I have faith. It may be little faith, but I can touch the eternal God. The eternal God who was, the eternal God who is, and the eternal God who is in the future. He's past, present, and future at the same time. And here I am, a little pygmy, as it were, on planet Earth. Nobody in the eyes of people, but I can just as a child look up by faith and touch the eternal God of heaven. And because I am now an eternal being, there will never be a time when I'll cease to be. I'll either be in heaven or I'll be in hell. I will either be walking down golden streets or I'll be burning in the flames of hell. There is an eternal being standing in your presence, and you are an eternal being. There will never be a time when you'll ever cease to be. You are in the chapter of life. I'm in the chapter of life. It shall come to close somewhere down the road for all of us. And we shall enter into another sphere of life. We'll enter into a sphere that's different than this one. And we find ourselves needing to understand more, I do, what faith really is. Being able to trust God. Being able to trust God. So let me just mention a few things today in your hearing that I hope will be a help to you. Remember, we are eternal beings, and because of that, we live in two worlds. We live in two worlds. I'll come back to that in just a moment. Let me give you a definition more of faith. Someone has defined it as F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I take him. Here's the declaration. We believe that God is. I don't think there's any doubt anybody in this room who doubts that God is. But there's a lot of folks who doubt that God is. Atheists, infidels, agnostics either doubt that God exists or they have some reservations of whether God exists or not. I'm here to declare today without any apology, dogmatic if you please, with an explanation point out beside, God is. And without him, I can't exist. He is the author of life. He's the taker of life. And whatever God wants to do, God can do because God is. I mentioned already in previous sermons, he's the only person who can say, I am the great I am. I am God. I am he. Who are you? I am. And complete a sentence. I am the great I am, the eternal, everlasting God, the God who is omniscient, knows everything, the God who is omnipotent and can do everything, and the God who is omnipresent, who's everywhere at the same time, and thank God he is, and he is my shepherd, he is my Lord, he is my God, he is my gauge, he is my protector, he is my provider, he's my provision, he's my God. And the Bible says I must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible tells us that we have that privilege of living in two worlds. What do you mean, preacher? You can live on planet Earth and be a citizen of America or a citizen of this world and also be a citizen of another world at the same time. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says my citizenship is in heaven. That means I'm a citizen of another world. Well, how do you know that? By faith. Well, preacher, that's just a figment of your imagination. No, no, no. I believe it. I believe there is a heaven. In the beginning, the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. And then Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not that I get that because I work for it, but because I have faith to believe I'm going to work for God. And when my life is over, I enter into the other world, but I'm already a citizen there. My name is over there. My father is over there. My loved ones are over there. I have a grandparents over there. My grandparents are there. My daddy's over there. My mother's over there. My brother's over there. I have loved ones over there. And they're all there. How do you know? Because the Bible says so. It settles it with me. I was jotting down yesterday, was trying to work on having a memory board. And just sort of on May the 30th, which is Memorial Day, we remember our soldiers who died in battle. And I want to remember all those who maybe had an effect or a possibility of being numbered as somebody who associated with our church, affiliated, whether they were members or not, it's not the issue. And I'm just jotting folks' names down. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, there's 20, 20, 30, 60, probably 80 names right here on this page before me of people that are not here now. They're in heaven. This while ago, and Miss Berryman came in, Phyllis, and I said, well, how's Mr. and Mrs. Berryman doing today? Wow. And I saw the tear come to your eye, Phyllis. That was a mistake on my part. I looked at his picture the other day. I looked at some pictures I'd saw somewhere on Facebook and thought about Terry. In fact, I thought about Terry quite a bit. And so when I said it today, really the two are one, and she said, I wish he was here too. One day you'll see him again. How do you know? By faith. You say, preacher, that's just hogwash. Well, let me tell you something. I say to every infidel, every agnostic, you can say what you want to say, but you're not going to take it away from me, because the Bible says, and what God says is true, and I can have faith in that. And faith is completely trusting in the ability of somebody else to do what I can't do for myself. And I'm grateful that God has provided that we can walk by faith, we can live by faith, and thank God we can come down to the end of our life and die by faith, because it's by faith and by faith alone. You say, well, preacher, what's it got to do? What you got to do about works? You read the passage, you'll find that these men and women, they did something. But they were not justified by their works. They were saved by faith, and because they had faith, they had works. And because they were pleasing to God, there were things they wanted to do for God. And so in the operation of the whole scheme of things, the special way of seeing, I see that which is invisible. You say, sort of spooky, ain't it? Well, that's what God said about Moses. Moses endured seeing him who was invisible. Now listen very carefully, and I'll get to the heart of the message. I have never seen God. I've seen the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, and day unto day uttereth knowledge. There is a God. Even from the world's viewpoint, they believe in a higher being. But as a saved individual, I believe there is a heavenly Father. I believe there is a God. By faith, I believe there is an existing of a God that is eternal. I have no doubt about it. Well, how do you know that? I just know it. And I see him who's invisible. I've never seen God literally. I've never seen him. Now, you may have seen him. Maybe you have. God bless you. I've never seen him. I don't know exactly what he looks like from a physical aspect, and that's the reason why he says, don't make any graven images of me. And why we've got to be careful that we don't prepare something that is a replica of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the pictures we have of Jesus is some artist's viewpoint. That doesn't mean that they're real in reality of the pictures of Jesus Christ. There was no photographer back in those days, and those nobody perhaps knew exactly what he looked like that put it down. We don't know that. But I know that God exists, and because he exists and he's always existed and he always will be, I can see things that are invisible. I believe in a God that I cannot see. To do in my heart what I can't explain. To take me to a place I've never been. And somebody says, you're a fool. Well, let me just keep being a fool. You say, but preacher, that's just ignorance. Well, let me just be ignorant. The Bible says, let no man be ignorant. You don't need to be ignorant about things. But if I'm ignorant, I'm ignorant. Back home, they call that an ignoramus. You're just an ignoramus. Put me down, I'm an ignoramus. You a square. Yeah, put me down, I'm a square. But remember, a square has a level head on him. Amen? You say, you just a nut. I'm screwed to the right boat, and I'm grateful by faith. I can believe there is a God who loves me and cares for me and wants me and loves me, and I can go to bed pillow in the great arms of God because I know he's real. My God is real, and he's real in my soul. It ought to be all of us today can echo the truth. Wonderful that I can go to a place that he's preparing for me. I have a Heavenly Father over there, I said a while ago, and I started going through the Gospels. Every time it says Father in heaven, my soul, man, I got bogged down just counting them. How many times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I have a Father in heaven. I have a Heavenly Father in heaven. And I'm grateful today that I have family over there, brothers and sisters in Christ, that I mentioned a moment ago just in passing, that are in heaven today. And there'll be a great reunion day. I'm grateful that I have treasures in heaven. That's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6. And in other places, it alludes to the treasures in heaven. Lay not up treasures on earth where thieves can break through and steal, and where rust can corrode and moth can eat it. But lay up treasures in heaven, for where your heart is, there your treasure is also. I believe there are treasures laid up in heaven. Because we're serving the Lord and trying to please him, and God is in debt to no man, and God's going to reward us for our faithfulness. And we shall be rewarded according to the deeds done in the flesh. And he says, when I come again, my reward is with me. And he's going to bring those things that we have been laying up in heaven and laying up before God and saying, Lord, I love you and I want to serve you. And every time if you give a cup of water in my name, you have not lost your reward. And God's going to reward us all someday. And I'm grateful for that. I said a while ago, I have family members there and I think about them often. I rearrange my office a little bit here, and I put my dad, my mom's picture over there in the corner so I could see it from my desk instead of behind me. I put my daddy's Bible, the old Thompson chain Bible, right in front of it. And then the next picture, I put the picture of my mother's, not a picture, but I put a Bible my mother had that was given to her in the front. It's got her name, and she started putting the sort of the information. So when we got married on a certain date, and so-and-so died, and then she put the children's name in there, and their birth date, etc., and she started keeping a Bible record of those that were in the family. And so I laid that Bible over there, and it's right close to where my mom's picture's at. You say, well, you're getting sort of sentimental about going to heaven? Yeah. Yeah. You ever want to see your loved ones again? Thoughts about your wife, Homer? Miss Ann, Nancy and I were talking about her last night. We can say a lot of good things about Ann. Can't say much good about you, but a lot of good things about Ann. We was talking about Ann last night, and I said she was a good woman. One of the best Sunday school teachers we ever had, and she dealt with the little babies and kids over here and toddlers. Just loved it. She came in every week with like a suitcase going to work of things she wanted to show those kids. She suffered physically and went home to glory. And that's been a number of years ago that Miss Ann went to heaven. So when I start going down a list of names, forgive me, I've got probably more over there than I have here. Of family members, of loved ones and friends that I've had the privilege of being their pastor at some point in their life, maybe not all the time, but at some point in gesture in their life, our paths crossed. And I go back sometimes, and that's not a statement that I make just to be trying to impress you, But on those over 300 and some funerals that I preached, and I went back and started going back through that list, and it takes you down memory lane. You see, sometimes we forget. They say by the time 50 years pass, you probably forget everybody that's been affected in your life. You don't think about them much. And sometimes we maybe don't even think about our loved ones after 50 years. I know that's probably not true completely, but we just forget and we lose memory points and we don't think about it much. But every once in a while, you're going to walk down memory lane and say, well, what's going to happen one of these days? I'm going to finish my course. You're going to finish your course. And by faith, I got on my knees as a little boy and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I see you say, well, preacher, I've heard that so many times. You're going to hear it again if you stick around. There was a time as a little boy. And my wife says, you never was a little boy. Yes, I was. I was a little boy. And by faith, I looked up to God and asked Him to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And not in those words, but that's what I meant. I didn't understand it, as I've alluded to in the assurance of salvation sermons I've just been preaching. But by faith, I entered into the family of God. By faith, my name was written down in the book of life. And by faith, I live. And the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. That's our verse at our church. When we moved here and we named the church Faith Baptist Church, the just shall live by faith became the key verse. It's mentioned three times in the Word of God. The just shall live by faith. We took a theme song. We need to sing it again probably in the near future. We've come this far by faith. How? Trusting in the Lord. And if we're going to go forward into the years to come, if Jesus tarries His coming, it'll be by faith. And that faith needs to be instituted. It needs to be implanted. It needs to be instructed. It needs to be by inspiration that other generation can come and pick up the relay of the baton and say, I'll carry it to my children. I'll carry it to my grandchildren. Because if we don't, we're going to lose a whole generation of folk who go down the pit and go down the pipe and go down the path that leads to destruction. May God help us not to have that problem. Demonstration of that faith, it says that faith chooses, verse 25. Choosing rather, talking about Moses, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It chooses. There's pleasure in sin. And you know that and I know that. But Moses made a choice by faith that he was going to trust God. Little did he realize perhaps what all that meant. When he took his stand with God's people, even though he was raised in the household of Egypt and Pharaoh's and under Pharaoh's daughter, even though he had the influence and the impact of that country around him, there come a time when he had to choose. And Moses made a decision. I'd rather suffer affliction with God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And folks who live for pleasure, your season will end, and it's going to come to a place in your life that you're going to regret, and I'm going to regret also if I live for the things of this old world, and if it's not our theme song, oh, that thrills our soul as Jesus should be at the very height of what we're doing. What really thrills you? Is it Jesus or is it pleasure? I think we sometimes have gotten so wrapped up in pleasure that we don't have the time for God, and how sad that is. Whether life or death, good times or bad times, by faith you choose to do what's pleasing to God. I'm glad today that God is. You say, preacher, that's so elementary. No, it's not. It's great theology. It is probably one of the greatest theological statements I could utter from this pulpit. God is. He's the God of the present. He was the God of Abraham, who had the call of God on his life to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to a place that God was going to show him. He, by faith, he just trusted God. That takes faith. Just to up and leave and say to Sarah, we're going to move. And I don't know if he asked for her permission. He just said, Sarah, we're going to move. And she says, what do you mean we're going to move? All of our family's here. Our possessions are here. He says, I know, but God told me to move. And I believe Abraham said in a kind way, Sarah, pack your bags. We're going out. She said, where are we going to go? She said, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just going to go. Now, I don't know if I got that kind of faith or not, but I should have. Abraham was just a normal character like anybody else. And God called him to go to a place he'd never been before. Before that, the Bible says, by faith, Abel. As they demonstrated their faith, the definition of faith is trusting God completely and explicitly. And it was demonstrated by a number of characters in this chapter that I read. It says that Abel, in verse 4, offered, there it is, action, unto God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith he did that. By faith he brought the firstlings of the flock and that which without blemish and placed it on the altar before God and shed some blood and offered it before God. I've been enjoyed going through Leviticus again this year. Every time I see the word blood in Leviticus, I want to stop and say glory. Every time I see the word holiness, I want to say glory. Every time I see the word worship or sacrifice, I want to say glory. I don't get all the feasts and all of them probably correctly identified as they are in the book of Leviticus. And who was it said the other night? Sometimes I get bogged down in Leviticus when I do my Bible reading. I do fine through Genesis and Exodus, but I get to Leviticus, I get bogged down because it's full of a lot of things you just wonder about. I mean, how did you put the blood on the priest on his right toe and put it on his right thumb and you put the blood all over him. Just put the blood on him. You start wondering, what in the world is that for? And there was a spiritual application there for it, I understand. But you read about all the feasts and all the celebrations and all the offerings and all the sacrifices that are to be brought to the Lord. But in those that deal with sin and relationship, it always has blood associated with it. By faith, I believe that Jesus Christ came to this world and lived for 33 years and without sin and lived and died and went back to glory. And one day's coming again. By faith, I live. By faith, I walk. By faith, I serve. And so did Abel. And if he was able, so am I able to serve my God the very best of my ability by faith. Abel offered by faith. Enoch was translated. And he should not see death. And back in Genesis chapter 5. You read all the genealogies in the Old Testament. And of course, Keith likes to study genealogies. And you read those in the Old Testament of he beget so-and-so and beget so-and-so, beget so-and-so, and lived so long, beget so-and-so, and they lived so long, beget so-and-so. And Enoch was not. It's amazing how God wrote the Bible. And Enoch was not. Why? God took him. So here's Enoch. He's walking along. He's fellowshipping and he's having a good time in life and enjoying the blessings of the Lord. And he walked with God after Methuselah was born. And here he is, he's walking with God and living the life. And the Bible says Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God just took him. They're walking along, maybe going across the mountain. And God says to Enoch, Enoch, would you like to come up to heaven and spend the day with me? Enoch said, yes, sir, I sure would. Well, he said, let's go. That quick, he left the mountaintop, went to glory. You say, you believe that? By faith, I believe that Enoch walked with God, and God translated him, and he was not, for God took him. Amen. And he went up to glory, which I think is a preamble to the rapture. Yeah. Before the judgment comes, that we are going to be translated out of this world, and one day we'll be walking along, minding our own business, and the trump of God will sound, and the voice will shout, come hither, and up from this whole world we'll go, and instantaneously, in the twinkling of an eye, to go up to be with the Lord forevermore. By faith, I can believe that. See, by faith, I have hope that the future is bright. And by faith, a lot of folks live their daily living, realizing that this world is not their home. They're just a passing through. Enoch was translated. Sarah, Noah was warned of God of things that had not been ever seen before. And he moved with fear. See, faith doesn't sit around. Faith produces. Faith is in action all the time. And faith chooses, as I said about Moses. And faith acts in this illustrations of verses 4 through 8 and on through the chapter I could go of the others that were by faith. They see a job to be done and they do it. They find the fact that they see a hurt that needs to be fulfilled and they try to help somebody. Why? By faith. Why do you do things for folks? Why do you try to help? Well, I'm just that kind of guy. I'm a kind person. But as a Christian, we ought to operate by faith, and we do what we do by faith. We see something needs to be done by faith, and we confront needs and try to help meet those needs. We're working for God. Faith without works is dead. Show me your faith. Show me your works. You say, I don't have any works. If I ask you, what are your works doing? What are you doing for God? Well, nothing. Faith without works is dead. That means your faith is dead. How can you have faith in God and not work for Him? How can you have faith in God and not want to do something for Him? You may not know altogether what you are going to do. You may not know, like Abraham, where you're going to go. You may not know, what, like Moses, what you're going to build. You may not know altogether what's going to transpire in your life. But you say, I got faith, and by faith I believe God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So I'm going to seek the Lord with all of my heart to do the will of God. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not to my own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all my ways, and He shall direct my path. We've come this far by faith, and one day we'll make it to the other side. I close with the defense of faith. The definition of faith: forsaking all, I take Him, completely having confidence in the ability of somebody else to do what I can't do. It's demonstrated in the various characters of Hebrews chapter 11 in the hall of faith. But in defense of faith, I want you to move to chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, what is the joy of the Lord? Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The consideration today: there is a cloud of witnesses looking down from heaven. Who are they? I believe there are people who've already completed their journey. They come through in Hebrews chapter 11. And when he says in verse 33 in chapter 11, who faith, through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured and not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Some got delivered, some did not get delivered from the lion's den. And the Bible goes on to say, some were stoned and they were sown asunder, as Isaiah was, and were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. You say, that's not for me. Do you want the blessings over here without the pain over here? Do you want the good without the bad that comes in life by serving God? If the persecution comes, what will we do? What's going to happen? Pastor just got arrested in Canada for preaching the gospel in a church. They said, you cannot meet. You're not going to meet. And he still met, and he's in jail, whether you agree with it or not. All across the country, the people are being threatened to go to jail. Hopefully that's going to be lifted in America, and we see a little window of sparing, hopefully. But the Bible says there are many that suffered, of whom this world is not worthy. They received a good report, verse 39, and they received not the promise, because they'll not get their full reward until we get there, because it's a relay race. And the baton hands down from generation to generation, and the full reward will not be experienced until we all get there. Here's what I want to say in closing. Peter and John believe God and not man and the government. They just believe God. Where are they at, preacher? They're in heaven. Paul, on that voyage of the sea in Acts 27, when he says, I believe God, where's he at today? After his head was cut off at Nero's block, he's in heaven. How about Polycarp, one of the first pastors of the church in the Colosseum in Rome? Polycarp, renounce your Christ or you shall die. He says, I've lived for Christ all these many years. I cannot recant my faith now in Christ. Light the fire.
Where's he at?
He's in heaven today.
Joan of Arc, in the midst of the flames that consumed her physical body, crying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Where's she at today?
She's in heaven.
Martin Luther, at the Council of Worms, stood and said, as he took on the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic religion, and said, here I stand. I can do no other. Started the Protestant Reformation. Where's he at today? He's in heaven. John Bunyan, prison, arrested for preaching the gospel. He says, I am determined, God being my helper and shield, to stay here until the moss grows over my eyebrows rather than surrender my faith. For by faith you please God. Where's he at? He's in heaven today.
D.L. Moody. Matter of fact, just give me a minute. D.L. Moody says, on his dying bed, D.L. Moody, that great evangelist who touched this country of America and England and put one hand on one the other and shook both nations for God. He's dying now. A few hours before entering into the homeland, Dwight L. Moody caught a glimpse. By faith, he lived. And by faith, he died. He got a glimpse of the glory awaiting him. Awakening from his sleep, he said, earth recedes. Heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me, and I must go. His son, who was standing by his bedside, said, no, no, Father. You're dreaming. No, said Mr. Moody, I'm not dreaming. I've been within the gates. I've seen the children's faces. A short time elapsed, and then, Father, what seemed to be to the family a death struggle, he spoke one more time. This is my triumph. Earth receding, heaven descending. This is my coronation day. He said, it is glorious. Matthew Henry says, I bless God that I have support on the inside on my deathbed. Martin Luther, I mentioned a while ago, says, our God is the God from whom cometh salvation. God is the Lord in whom we escape death, because Christians don't die. They just begin to live in another world. By faith, we believe that. And I could go on and on with testimonies of those who died in the faith. We may not be able to utter words before we die, but we can utter them now. And say these words, I believe God. I'm trusting God. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my hand. I know God's already been there. You say, preacher, I've heard that over and over again during the pandemic, and the pandemic's come, and the next pandemic may come. I don't know what the future holds. The next one may be worse than this one. I don't know what God is up to. I don't know what God is trying to do altogether. I can imagine, I can think, I can perhaps say God's doing something to get our attention, yes. But I'm telling you this, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know that that nail-scarred hand that was nailed to the cross of Calvary to save the whole world reaches out to help us, and we can go on. We don't have to quit. We don't have to stop. We don't have to back up. We don't have to drop out. We can say, with the grace of God, I've failed God. I've let him down. Yes, I have. But that faith has a way of buoying up by faith through the word of God. I know there's hope. I know there's help. I know he's there. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And though I die somewhere in a foreign land, he's going to be there. And though I die in some little room wrapped in a diaper, he's there. I'm telling you, God's with us all the way, all the time, every day. In every way, let's just say God is, God is, God is, God is. And by faith, we're going to trust him until the last breath leaves our body or the rapture comes. Are we passing the baton down? Let's do it. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Thank you for your kind attention.